The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month, I will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. My guest today is Debbie Myers, Chairwoman of the North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association. Debbie grew up in Illinois and relocated to North Carolina in the fall of 1993 for her job with Sprint. She was an executive director at Sprint at the time of her accident in September 2001. Debbie suffered a T12 spinal cord injury as the result of a fall at her home. Utilizing her professional background in project management and customer service, she became active in and is one of the founding members of the North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association, which was formed in the fall of 2003. The development of the organization improved the support and resources available to the spinal cord injury community in North Carolina. The North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association is a state chapter under United Spinal Association. There wasn't a state organization prior to the formation of the North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association. She is very proud of the organization's outreach through its peer mentoring and support groups, educational programs, adaptive sports resources, and community awareness projects. Debbie remains active in continuing to reach her own personal milestones and enjoys spending time with her family. She is the proud aunt to five nieces and nephews who were strong motivators in her early years of recovery from her spinal cord injury. Debbie has a bachelor's in finance from the University of Illinois. So glad to have you with us on Community Connections, Debbie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association clearly holds personal and heartfelt prominence in your life. Would you please share the story of your injury, a life-changing event, and explain what a T12 injury involves?
Sure. Prior to my injury, I lived up at Carr Lake and very active lifestyle. We did a lot of water sports and was very involved with remodeling our home and been very busy with work and animals and such. In the fall of 2003, I was working at 2001, excuse me, I was working on a project painting the some windows on, and I slipped and fell off the roof. It's kind of ironic. Never been hurt in my life. And you think with all the water sports and things that we were doing, you know, that would be where I might have an injury. But I did. I slipped and fell off, and I ended up with a T12 level of injury. T12 level is lower on your thoracic level, and I am impaired from the waist down. I don't have feeling from the waist down. I'm very lucky that I have my upper body and upper body movement, and that I didn't have a brain injury.
Was the fall onto the grass or the ground?
Actually, I fell on a low porch that we actually had been remodeling, and so the tile was off, and it was just some concrete, and I fell.
Some concrete?
Yes. Yes, very unexpected, obviously.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, so you became a volunteer and a founding member in 2003. What was the status back then for people who were injured?
You know, I became really, after my injury, you know, obviously I had surgery and I spent time inpatient rehab and then outpatient rehab and then a day treatment program at, and most of my rehab was done at Wake Med in Raleigh. And so became very during therapy, became very involved with the support groups and some peer mentoring, and you just meeting a lot of people. because of my background of project management and customer service, I think I became kind of a go-to person for other people that I was meeting because I was gathering different types of information and resources. I really didn't understand spinal cord injuries very well, obviously, when I was first injured. Wanted to know more about it, wanted to know more what was out in the community to help me. I, of course, wanted to recover fully and walk. And so I was just searching on a lot of different levels. How could I make my day-to-day life better? What did I have to look for in the future? What did I need to work towards? And so, again, I think I just became kind of a go-to person during rehab for other people that were in therapy along with me.
Oh, so it's where you met these other people.
I met some other, yes. And during, so I met my peers and spent time with my peers and we learned from each other how we each handled different things, how you handled your day-to-day life or how you went to the grocery store, what worked best, how do you handle parking, there's a lot of different issues you fed off of each other trying to learn. Because I was still involved in therapy and the therapist and management at Wake Med reached out to me and asked, hey, we know your background is in customer service. We know your background is in project management. What do you think about, here's an idea. We thought of getting a group together that would benefit everybody, yes, and keep, you know, kind of a central location for resource of information. Again, based on my background, I was very open to that. Plus, I wasn't working at the time, so this allowed me to bought into it very quickly because it allowed me to use my background and my skills. I reached, at the time, there wasn't a state chapter that fed this. There was national chapter, like at United Spinal, reached out to them and asked, what do we need to do? We want to provide
services
to our folks here in North Carolina, peer mentoring and resources and advocacy efforts. What do I need to do? So that's how I got connected with United Spinal. They helped me get, they had an outline of things that needed, you know, how to get started with a state chapter. Wake Med was very instrumental in helping us get started. They gave us the seed money to help get things started. So
really, that's yeah. Very good news.
It was great. It was very great. I mean, just to even get yourself, you know, the simple things of finding an office space or getting even a business card or putting together flyers and the whole thing, you know. Here, we want to let people know about a support group. Here's, you know, we need to make up a flyer. Or early on, once we kind of got our kind of understood what our guidelines were, we set up a conference, and I think we thought at the time that we would be very lucky to have 25 people. It just happened to be we had 80 people, which was wonderful. Wow. So it reinforced the need for people wanting to get together and share information or looking for information. They were looking for source of information, really.
So what I would like to know is from the time of the fall
of your fall
to mm-hmm. this great work that you started with your skill and talent, mm-hmm. how long did that take? Because you need to recover from surgery, you need to have the therapy.
Right. You know, I think we got started with the chapter in the fall of 2003. So it was a two-year period.
Okay.
For me, my initial, yes, for, you know, when I was injured, it was a shock, right? I was very independent, used to being the go-to person, used to taking care of everything. And so to relearn my new normal was, you know, really unbalanced. I was really unbalanced for a while. It was very unsettling. And just trying to figure that out, my personal relationships changed. I had been with, my significant other. We had been together for 6 years prior to my accident, and he had a lot of trouble dealing with the accident. So you have that, your personal life changing, your work life, professional life changing, family dynamics changing. And so I would say for the first 14 months or so, I probably would never want to go through that period again. Got through it, obviously, and rehab was important to me at the time because it was a place to go to. It was a place to learn some new skills. And plus, it was being a part of being with my peers. And then because they were coming to me for information, it allowed me to put my project manager hat back on. And then that was really good for me mentally and, uh-huh. and got me like, hey, you know, this, I can have a good life. You know, I came to my level of acceptance of my injury very quickly after that.
That's amazing because something like that is so serious and not everybody can adjust.
Well, you know, I have to, you know, everybody still, I have still have my days, even after it's been close to 18 years. You know, I call them my pitiful pearl days. And if I, some days it just, things build up and you just have a bad day and I recognize it and let myself have the bad day and then shake it off. It takes up, honestly, it takes up a lot more energy to be negative and be really unhappy than it does to just move on.
That's great advice.
Well, thanks. Yeah. It helps to remember your milestones that you've achieved. It helps me to remember the milestones, and that's what would initially, when I have a bad day, okay, let me think about the milestones that I've reached. And so
that's a great way of looking at life, no matter what situation mm-hmm. you're
Thank
in.
Thank you.
So, who else was involved? I mean, there were other people at the therapy, mm-hmm. but who did you sort of partner with? Because you need somebody else
sure.
to begin an organization. One person, two?
You know, we got started with probably about five or six. And honestly, there were several people who were in chairs that were interested in participating and wanting a role. And there were therapists that were, several therapists that were interested in helping get this started. There were some executives within WakeMed that were interested in helping get started. And I think that first conference really helped a lot, too, because we had a couple guest speakers. And so you meet people that way. We also invited vendors from the community, vendors that are useful to someone in my chair, the durable medical vendors, the people that provide the wheelchairs, the people that provide the home modifications, people who provide the accessible vans, people that were involved in adaptive sports. So that was how that conference helped us get introduced us to them and them to us. And then we established some that was the start of the network. And it just has built from there. We currently have about 30 strong corporate sponsors with our organization on an annual basis. So it's, we're very pleased where we have grown. We started out, we took a lot of our time to set a real strong base and then build up from that.
You certainly seem to have developed your team
a
step-by-step.
Yes.
So you said there were therapists involved and
yeah.
other people
mm-hmm.
in chairs. What about physicians? Were there any physicians who were willing to be part of this?
The physicians are part of this. Several of our corporate sponsors. They're involved on the sponsorship level. Some of the physicians' wives are a part of our fundraising committee. So, yes, they are involved in that way.
That is very good. Mm-hmm. Very good news for organizations
yeah.
because fundraising is important. We'll get to that a little bit later.
And these family members of the physicians, too. The physicians and their family members have all been volunteers in the different programs that we manage or provide to. So they've all been, will bring their families to our adaptive sports programs and the families will volunteer at different levels. So we've been very fortunate to have different levels of support from the physicians and the vendors and the therapists
and
the community.
And
yes.
the community. Okay. So here's a little bit more technical question.
Sure.
Do spinal cord injuries occur only from accidents or from birth or in some other manner?
No, it's not just from accidents. The majority of them are from motor vehicle accidents or violence, things like that. But there are health issues that people, you can end up with a spinal cord injury. Transverse myelitis is one. It's a disease and attacks the nervous system and can paralyze you. Some it's more permanent. Some can work through it. There could be accidents with procedures. There can be infections. There can be tumors. So it can be a health issue also. It's not just accidents, but though a large percentage of them are tied to accidents. Mm-hmm. When I was in rehab, one of the ladies that I did meet, I went to a rehab center in Kansas City for a little while. She actually became paralyzed through childbirth. And so the epidural was put in the wrong place. So that was very eye-opening to me.
Wow, that's an interesting case. Mm-hmm. Well, how about motorcycles? What do you think about motorcycles?
Yeah, we meet a lot of people in our support groups and things like that who've had motorcycle accidents. Mm-hmm.
So you actually were a peer mentor, mm-hmm. in a sense, to the people that you met at therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like an invaluable program, but, you know, who but one is living with a spinal cord injury better able to help a person newly diagnosed?
Great.
So speak a little bit about peer mentoring and then some of the other programs.
Sure. I'm a big proponent of peer mentoring and support groups. I think that is one of the best ways to help people get integrated back into the community. We have 7 support groups around the state, and I help facilitate 2 here in the Triangle area, 1 in Chapel Hill and 1 in Raleigh. And we meet a lot of people that are newly injured. Some have been discharged and still want to come back into a support group because they're having trouble getting acclimated to the community and what their new life is like. We have some people who come to support groups that have been injured very long period of time, 10, 12 years post-injury, even greater, who have an issue come up and they want to come back to a support group because they want to talk to their peers. And we just, the support groups that are very active right now, there's at least about 20 people that come every month. And there's just a lot of sharing, a lot of things going on that on your personal life, how to take care of your personal needs, the bowel and bladder, how you get from, what kind of mattresses work best so that you don't get a pressure sore, what kind of medications are people on or what has worked for them, how to deal with the chronic pain, how to deal with the nerve pain, how do you deal with getting upstairs when you're in a, two-level house. So there's just a lot of questions and feedback that happens at these support groups. And so that helps people, the newly injured or even any of us. It really, you don't feel so alone. And you like, and you don't have to recreate the wheel and how to figure out a solution to a problem. So that's the benefit of, I think, of one of the benefits of a peer mentoring and a support group. It just helps you feel more comfortable getting back into the community, more comfortable trying new things because, going grocery shopping by yourself for the first time, how do you do it? Do you push the cart? Do you put a basket in your lap? Do you have to ask for help, right. And so what do you do? So different people talk about their experiences. For me, when I'm by myself, I like to put a basket in my lap and put the stuff in it. And then I we'll put the groceries in either a paper bag or I'll carry one of the grocery bags, the cloth ones, with me. Plastic slips off my lap too easily. So, it's tricks like that we talk about and people figure out. How do you walk your dog if you're, how do you exercise your pet if you with being paralyzed and that kind of thing? How do you drive a vehicle? Different people, spinal cord injuries it's very interesting. I mean, I'm very lucky, again, that I have a T12 level of injury, so I have my upper body. C-level injuries are higher up, and more of your upper body can be impacted, more of your hands and arms and neck. Mm-hmm. And so even the breathing can be affected. So still, there's a lot of people who are C-level of injuries, quadriplegics, who can drive. But people want to know, how can you drive? How do you do it? And we'll talk about the adaptations to the vehicles and different types of things like that, what vehicles work best. Some people, younger folks, younger men especially, younger people, do not want an adaptive van because they think that's an older person's vehicle.
That's interesting.
They would rather have a car. How do you make the sedan work? What works better? What kind of sedan works? I personally drive the van. I don't want to take apart my chair. I don't want to get in in the rain. I just want to be able to get in my van very quickly. I don't want to have to transfer into the driver's seat in a sedan, take apart my chair, bring the chair across my body. That's me. But I'm older, but that's me. You know. But again, people talk about what works best for them or not. Also, the peer mentoring, when you're newly injured, a lot of families want to talk to you also. And so that's when we meet the person that's injured and spend time with their families while they're in the hospital and try to answer different questions that are that come up. I mean, the families are like, have so many questions because it's new, you know, and how is my child going to live? How are they going to go back to school? How does any of this happen? You know, how do we make things happen? What adaptions do we need to make? Who do we need to reach out to make those adaptions? Is there money available? You know, is there funds? Is there grants? You know, so those are the kind of things we help with. That's what peer mentoring is about. Try to help them get over their initial fear and then try to help them plan for longer term.
So as I'm listening to you, I'm realizing that there are so many things we take for granted, yeah. Like grocery shopping, which sometimes is, you know, something you just don't want to spend your time doing. Mm-hmm. But you do it, and you don't think about a plastic bag slipping off your lap. Mm-hmm. So I can see where this is absolutely very important work.
Well, thank you.
While we were on the peer mentoring, mm-hmm. We talk about some of the other programs, the educational and adaptive sports. Yeah. What's your favorite?
Sorry, I do get carried away. I can talk about peer mentoring and support groups for a really long time. But we do have some other wonderful programs that I'm very proud of. Adaptive sports, we sponsor two teams. We sponsor a wheelchair rugby team called the Raleigh Sidewinders. And we sponsor a wheelchair basketball team, the Triangle Thunder. Both are based in the Raleigh area, though we have players from Eastern, you know, in the outer area of the Triangle. Wheelchair rugby came about in about 2006. There was a movie came out called Murder Ball. And Murder Ball is about wheelchair rugby. And it's a story within a story, several stories within the story, really. Murder Ball was about, followed several players, some who had been injured a long period of time, and one who had been injured a very short period of time and was just coming home. And so he was introduced to quad rugby after he came home and was able to get involved with a team and get with his peers. The story also talks about competition. And within the United States, and then there was a story of competition at a national level between the Canadian team and the United States team. So very wonderful. It's very a lot of action, very, very vivid, a lot of stories within the story. So when that movie came out, we got bombarded with phone calls. Hey, I saw this movie, Murder Ball. Do we have quad rugby in our area? Well, we didn't, but we did find out there was a quad rugby team in Charlotte. Reached out to Charlotte. Charlotte came. We'd hosted a clinic in Raleigh, biggest clinic, sports clinic that we'd ever hosted before. And from that, we had about 13, 15 people that were interested in being a permanent part of the team. So that's, we got started. We started our team in 2006. Initial funds to get things started because you need equipment, need rugby chairs. We wrote some grants. Christopher Reeves Foundation, Wake Med Foundation provided some money to get us some chairs.
How is a rugby chair different than
my chair?
The wheelchair?
A rugby chair is kind of a Mad Max kind of a look. The wheels are very flared out so that my wheels are very straight up and down. I don't have a lot of camber in it.
What's camber?
Camber means if they're flared out, you can turn very, more quickly.
Wheelies.
Yes, yes. So a rugby chair has a lot of camber, and it has a lot of metal. There's a lot of dump in the seat, so a player is sits really low into the seat, so they're very protected. And there's some metal around it. There's a defensive chair and offensive chair, and the different different chairs mean different things, but it really does look like a Mad Max kind of a chair, and they do bang into each other, and they get bent up, and they crash, and it's very loud and very can be very graphic, fun sport. It's very, gets a lot of energy out.
So the people who wanted to be a part of the team, mm-hmm. what did they know about rugby?
You know what they knew? What they wanted to get back into sport. They wanted, these guys, a lot of them were athletes in before their injury, and so they just wanted to get back into a team environment, get back into competition, and to play rugby, you have to be impaired in four limbs, and most of them are spinal cord injuries, though there's some with CP or some other birth defects and things like that. But and based on your level of injury, you have different levels of ability to play. But because you can, the sport is designed that you can, you're a very active member no matter what level of injury you have.
Educational programs.
Educational.
Just a little bit.
Sure. We host an annual conference every year. We host an annual conference every year. In the last couple of years, we've done things on nutrition, better nutrition with living with a spinal cord injury, fitness tied in with spinal cord injury. We've done this last one, emergency preparedness, how to be ready. And with, you know, we live in hurricanes and all that. So we had resources come to talk to us about emergency preparedness in living with a disability and what you needed to do. So we do some of those kind of things, how to take care of your skin, better, your bowel and bladder, things like that. Those are some of our topics.
Okay. Fundraising is very important.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine you have some sort of conference or dinner or some.
We do. Our biggest fundraiser is the, we host every year at the Angus Barn. And that's where most of our funds come for all of our programs. It's a wonderful event in October every year. And it's just beautiful. We have it down at the pavilions. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. And we do write some grants also, but our main fundraiser happens to be this, our annual fundraiser at the Angus Barn.
Okay. So let me see now. How can folks find out more about North Carolina Spinal Cord Injury Association?
We do
do
have
a commercial.
Thank you. We do have a website, www.ncscia.org. We are on Facebook. We are also listed under United Spinal. They have listed as a resource for North Carolina. Different rehab centers have our brochures, and they know how to reach out to us, or they give the brochures to newly injured folks. It's part of their packets of information that they give to families.
Where is that, the packets?
The rehab centers, like Wake Med or Vidant in Greenville, UNC in Chapel Hill, Carolinas in Rehab in Charlotte. Those rehab centers around the state have our information.
Okay, it's very important for people to know where to go. Okay, so Debbie Myers, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Community Connections, sharing your own personal story and everything that's now available due to you. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. I'm Sonia Usech-Kuhn. See you next time on the radio.